Father God, come before you in your righteousness, and we thank you, Lord, that you love us and you gave us life and you paid the price for our redemption. Lord, I pray that you bless the speaking of your word and the sharing today, and I pray, Lord, that through your anointing, that your message is heard, and that everything that that is needed is spoken as you would have it, and all this, anything that I should misspeak, that it be blotted out. And we ask all these things in the authority you've given us as Yeshua, our Messiah. I want to give it a little background. This has been something that's been on my mind for months now, and it's been one of those unctions. I like that word, unction. And with the unction, if you have an unction of a leading, a motivation to do something, and you put it with instruction, then you can actually have a function. So it's kind of a process going there. And this has come about, it started with the fall festivals. And Rabbi Hess has been doing some really good teachings. And on a lot of them have been thought very thoughtful and thought-provoking. But emphasizing the festivals, we went through Yom Teruah, the Day of Trumpets, and that is part of the preparation in the fall feast. And then we went to Yom Kippur, which is the time after the preparation for the atonement. And then we had Sukkot, which is a festival of joy and celebration for all of God's blessings that he's given us. So it's been kind of a process, and I got to thinking about it because we talked about joy, and I thought that was a really important thing. And I apologize for any plagiarism I have on Vice President Harris, but joy is important, you know, and I think it's sometimes a bit overlooked even. But as I was looking at this, Kimberly and I, our first Messianic congregation was called Beit Simcha, which is the house of joy. And our second congregation was Chaim Bederech, which is life in the way. And then we spent a little time in California, and we went to Avat Yeshua. When Michael's not here, but Michael Appel from Hot Springs actually attended that same congregation that we were in Southern California. And then we come to Ahava. So it was kind of one of those signposts that I didn't really see until it was there. And it reminded me, I'm going to bring up a very secular film here. I don't know if any of you have seen Bruce Almighty. And one of my favorite scenes is when, in the first part of the movie, he's driving this car and it's at night and he's talking to God and he just lost his job and he's complaining and says, God, can't you just give me some direction? You know, give me a sign. And this huge truck pulls out in front of him and it's full of signs. And there's lights on it and it says, wrong way, go back, do not enter. And then he passed a little sign on the road, and he says, danger ahead. He says, come on, Lord, just give me a sign. He's got some, I guess they were prayer beads or something. And he says, just give me a sign. And about that time, he hits a pothole, and his car goes off and hits a telephone pole. He says, oh, great, couldn't you give me a sign? You know, and the irony of there, he had all these signs in front of him, and he didn't see them. And sometimes we're a lot like that. but all of this is important, and I'm looking at Chaim Bederech right now because it all kind of fits together in forming the way we should walk and how should we go. If you speak to somebody that's been in the Messianic movement for a while, they'll probably, well, if you've been around Messianics anyway, you'll hear somebody say, well, we've been walking this way for some, you know, walk this way. Yeah. and I put it in connection with, we just finished a parsha here a few weeks ago called Lech Lecha. And basically, if you loosely translate that, at least by my feeble Hebrew, it means walk the walk. And this is what you're supposed to be doing. And it's a very important concept. In Hebrew, the word is halakha. And that's where lech lecha, you can kind of see halakha in that. But it's about the walk. And what walk means is how you're acting. And it's what you're doing spiritually as well as physically. Of course, spiritually, what you believe and what you are doing should be affecting how you're walking physically as well. So that fits together. You'll hear some people translate halakha as Jewish law. And it is set aside by Torah. But, of course, my preference on translation of Torah is instruction as opposed to law. There are some serious laws in there, but there's a whole lot of instruction. And if you'll do this, this will happen. You know, and if you'll do this, this will happen. And if you don't do this, this will happen. So there's a lot of good instruction in there. But it basically means the path you take. What are you going, how are you going to live your life? And as believers in Yehovah and Yeshua and the Ruach HaKodesh, spend a lot of time studying the Word and trying to learn, you know, what are we supposed to be doing? What is it we're doing? And I want to take, it's interesting because there's going to be a couple repetitions in here, and I think that's just God's way. You know, they say if He says it twice, it really means it. We're going to hear some of the things twice this morning. But we just did the Shema this morning. And in Deuteronomy 6, it says, "Hear, O Israel." Now, want to point out that in Hebrew, Shema, it means hear. But it also means obey. And so it's hear and do. So this is how you're going to walk. "Hear, O Israel." And by the way, I'm going to use Yud Hey Vav Hey. I'm going to speak Yehovah today. People here use different terms, but that's what I want to use today. Yehovah is your God. Yehovah is one. And you shall love Yehovah, your God, with all your heart, with all your soul, heart, spirit, soul, mind, and all your mind, all your wherewithal, all your means, everything that you, every resource that you have. And these words which I command you this day shall be on your heart, and you shall teach them to your sons or your children. You shall speak them as you sit in your house, as you walk by the way. Now that it just occurred to me, this in preparing for this, walk by the way, I'm thinking, you know, from house to house or what. I think it means more as you walk halakha, when you walk by the way, and you're lying down and you're rising up, and you shall bind them as a sign on your hand, which we pray that God will bless the work of our hands. So everything that you do is referred to your hand. And when you talk about clean hands, that doesn't mean you just washed your hands. I mean, it's a good idea. But that means you haven't done evil with your hands. Your hands are clean. And they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. So, and of course, in the Jewish world, they actually act that out. And I think that's a fine thing, because I believe it's a reminder, and it's really emphasizing how important it is. But what it's saying there is that everything that we do should be based on and ruled by Torah. All right? And everything we see from a Torah perspective, a Torah's worldview. And so basically, that's telling us that Yehovah is our God, and that we are to immerse ourselves into Torah so that it determines the perspective of our life. It establishes our worldview, and it measures everything that we understand. There's a Yiddish term called kishkas. And our first rabbi liked that. He says, you got to get it down in your kishkas, at your gut. You know, so you immerse yourself till it becomes a part of you. And then, as Yeshua said, out of the heart, the mouth speaks. So we got to fill ourselves up with this. Now, Rabbi Hess has also been focusing on this concept over the most of the year, actually. And it's been very impactful on me, because it's really made me look at things. And in a sense, it's just been finding what is real faith, what is real pervasive faith, and what does it look like? Now, when I wrote down pervasive, I'm looking at that word and I said, do I really know what that means? The word came to me, and I thought I knew what it means, and as it turned out, I was close. But I want to read you the definition, because it turns out it works out really well. It says, pervasive, it's an adjective, especially of an, now this is where it doesn't really apply, of an unwelcoming influence or physical effect. In other words, sometimes it has a certain dread about it. But it goes on to say, spreading wildly throughout an area or a group of people. Synonyms for this word would be prevalent, penetrating, pervading, permeating, extensive, ubiquitous, omnipresent, rife, widespread, general, common, universal, pandemic, epidemic, endemic, and inescapable, present everywhere. Now, what better word for faith? You know, what if we all had that kind of faith? That's to God's ears. Now, but he would say things like, if you really believe in Yehovah the Father, Yeshua the Son, and the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit, example, anytime there was a gathering, a convocation of believers, you would do everything in your power to be there. You know, you don't take it lightly. It takes a priority. So if you really believe, and that was one of the things that really brought me back to faith many years ago. I had a moment in my life when I said to myself, well, if I believe there's a God, and I do, because of what I had been through and how he had been there for me, and I believe his son is the Messiah, Yeshua, then this is what brought me to the Messianic movement. I want to worship the way Yeshua worshiped. You know, and so that's when you really believe that this is the real thing. You do what you can to be a part of it and try to get it right. Now, if you start putting all this together, if you look at Torah, which is God's instruction, and you look at faith, which is the belief that is real and truth, the two are naturally and dependently related. All right. In Romans, it says, so faith comes from hearing, Shema. Of course, in Romans, it's Greek, but we suspect that Paul probably used the Hebrew here. Hearing and doing by the word of Messiah, Torah and faith support each other. They feed each other. When you receive the gift of faith, all right, that first seed is a gift. Because that through that gift of faith, you start to accept Torah. And you start to accept the Bible as being true. And then as you study the Torah, and which, by the way, includes the Brit Hadashah, that's still the Word of God, as we believe. That is the inspired Word of God. And it has even more instructions in it than the Pentateuch, the first five books there. Then that starts to feed your faith, which you see the results of that faith, and it makes you hungry again. That knowledge, that gift of faith comes from the Ruach HaKodesh. And once you receive that Holy Spirit, you get hungry. You want more. You want to spend more time. You want to understand better. You want to dig through this. You want to really get it in your kishkas, all right? So that is part of how that kind of goes together. By the way, I found this real, this is pertinent, but it's not critical to what we're talking about. But it's something that's always tickled me, and so I'm going to share it with you. Anybody know the Hebrew word for knowledge? The Hebrew word for... All right, let's... now, I'm not going to let you answer because your answer may not be the same as mine, and you'll be right. But I believe... tell me, Yafe. Yada. Yada. And I always thought that was funny because we spent quite a bit of time in the Northeast, and as a Jewish phrase, somebody's telling you something, yada, yada, yada. Right? Well, that means you know, you know, you know. You know what I'm talking about. Yada, yada, yada. I don't have to explain it to you, right? And I think that's kind of funny. Yada, yada is actually means something. Okay. With yada, knowledge, your faith grows stronger. And with that stronger faith, your wisdom, knowledge, and understanding, Gary and Kimberly, are also strengthened. Now, halakha is how you walk in your faith. So when it says we walk by faith, not by sight, it is our faith that's guiding our steps. And so I'm sorry, getting chills here. It all works together, and it strengthens us the more we do it. And when that is inside us, that is our joy. The joy of the Lord is our strength, and the strength of the Lord is our joy. You know, it's all feeds each other. And so it's really an awesome thing to get involved with. Now, walking out your faith, some of you have met my son, Austin. Kimberly's son, too, by the way. And Austin used to tease me when he's heard me do a few drashas in my life, or in his life. And he says, "What you going to talk about, Dad?" And he says, and then he doesn't let me answer. He says, "Faith, I guess." And he says, "Because I always talk about the same thing." And I guess to a great extent, I have to admit to that. Because I think faith is the basis of it. Think about it. If you learn a great truth that has blessed thousands or millions or billions of people, and they have gotten the fruit of that, but you don't accept it and you don't act on it, what do you get out of it? Nada. I don't think that's Spanish. That's not Hebrew, right? It's close to yada, nada. Yada, nada. Anyway. You know nothing. If you hear a testimony or you read a book that gives you more information on how to prosper and help people or, you know, do some positive things in your life, some positive works with God's help, and you don't believe it, do you do it? Of course not. So faith is the key. You have to step out in faith. You have to, faith is the first step in halakha. You know, and whether it's the gift of faith or it's your strength in faith, it's the first thing that comes along. Now, so it was interesting. One of the songs we were talking about is "What I'm Here For," and I'm glad Ben had that because it does talk about worship. But before you can worship, you got to love. And that's my belief, and that's kind of what Yeshua said when they asked him, "Rabbi, what is the greatest commandment?" And he says to love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and strength. Right? And second to that is likewise, to love your neighbor as yourself. All of Torah and all the prophets are hung on these two. So that's what one of the, that's probably my favorite verse from Yeshua, because if you realize there are 613 commandments in Torah, that's a whole lot of commandments to keep up with, right? And if you're, I've been told there's over 1,000 in the Brit Chadashah. Yeshua makes it so simple. All you have to do is follow these two. Because you can't break Torah if you're doing these two. If you live in love, and you love God, and you love your fellow, you can't commit a sin. You know, you may not follow Torah exactly, but it's certainly not going to be a salvation issue. Once we have all that, we have a great commission also from Yeshua, and that is to go out and proselytize, go out and create disciples and bring others to faith. And I don't know if how you've approached it. Witnessing should be easy. It should not be a difficult thing. But I found it to be a challenge for me. And I think probably a lot of others have as well. But it came very obvious to me that all there was to witnessing is having a really strong faith, a special calling from God, particular personality and gifting, extreme education and memorization of Scripture, excellent persuasive skills, a great deal of courage, and boldness and brashness. It's that simple, right? That is. I may have a few of the first few there a little bit, but the last two, the boldness and the brashness and the courage, I didn't have. And the reason I had that image in my mind was, my idea was witnessing, what a person was doing was witnessing, is they're either arguing or debating somebody into faith. And that rarely ever happens. The only time that happens, if somebody already has head knowledge, they already know the Scripture, they know the story and everything, but they still have some little questions or they need a little correction or whatever to push them over the edge, to say, okay, I got it, now I understand. But that's not the key. If Kimberly and I were going to a Baptist church, this was pre-Messianic, in Newtown, Pennsylvania, and we were sitting in a Sunday school class, and I think Kimberly's probably told some of you this story before, but we're sitting there, and the Sunday school leader asked the group, says, do you love God? And it just smacked us in the face, you know. Love God? Well, I believe Him. I believe His Word is true. I'm not sure I know Him well enough to love Him, because love's a pretty intimate thing. And we really started questioning that. And if you look at what's involved with that kind of relationship, Yehovah is really conceptually even hard to wrap your mind around. I mean, face it, He's infinite. He's outside of space and time, and He can enter space and time anywhere He wants to, anytime He wants to. He created everything in the universe. I mean, that's a lot. But how do we relate? How do we mesh? And it's not easy. This is where I get really jealous of the biblical patriarchs and biblical people, a lot of biblical people in general, because I mean the patriarchs heard His voice, and He would visit them, and He would answer questions, and He'd give them signs, and And even if they didn't have that intimate effect, a lot of the biblical people saw what he did. They could see the miracles. They knew the reality. And, you know, in our day, we see real miracles, but most of the time we spend our time explaining them away. Oh, that happened because of this and this. It didn't really, you know, there was nothing miraculous about that. But the fact is, almost everything. When he says, give us, we did the Lord's Prayer today and says, give us our daily bread, that's not just food. That's, if God doesn't provide it, we don't get it, folks. You know, you can do, you can work as hard as you want. Well, the scripture, he who labors and who builds the house without the Lord labors in vain. You can do everything right you want, and if God doesn't bless it, if he doesn't want it to happen, it doesn't happen. And so everything that we, every blessing that we have, everything that we get is through him. And we can kind of personify him, but it's still, it makes it hard because it's really hard to talk to him. I mean, we can pray, but a lot of times, I don't know about you, but a lot of times I feel like, okay, I'm sending a message, but I'm not sure it's being completed. You know, communication is a two-way street. And I don't know right away if that's, I mean, I have to trust he's listening, you know. It's difficult to hear him. You know, that's one of my prayers. I says, Lord, I know you were present in the soft, gentle whisper, but please yell at me, you know, because I'm a little dense. You know me. You know, help me out here. And just to simply know him. So you can't see him. He tells us in Exodus 33:20, he says, you cannot see my face, for no man can see me and live. You know, so it's really hard to put that connection together if he's just God, you know. And so he knows this, by the way. But that's part of faith, you know, and that's why we get the first seed of faith, and that's why we have to depend on that, and we have to trust in that. But he has made it, given us some ways for us to understand by example. And I'll give you some of these examples. One, the scripture tells us he's our Father, the Creator, right? But he uses Father instead of just Creator, right? And hopefully all of you had time with your Father. I know there's some people that doesn't work out. But as a father, the feeling that you have for your child, I mean, you would do anything. And talking about, you know, Tommy talking about dying, I think most every father would not hesitate for their child. And that's, now I can start to relate to him as a father because I know what it's like to be a father. I know how I loved my father. You know, and by the way, I think mothers kind of like the kids too. So, so moms, you can get that feeling as well. King, he's the ruler and the authority. Right, all the laws of physics, chemistry, you know, mathematics, those are his laws. Right, it's his design. You know, so he's that. He's our provider, just talked about the bread and so forth, El Shaddai, comforter. And by the way, comforter, I don't know if everybody knows this or not, but it was a real revelation to me a few years ago, is when I thought about comforter, I thought about comforters, you know, that you lay under and they're cuddly and a pillow or your mama pets you or, you know, whatever, that's comforting. But comforting actually means to strengthen. So when we are down and out, petting is not really what we need. We need strength, you know, and we need him to help lift us up and encourage us and back us on whatever needs to be done. He's our shield. The Magen Avraham, the shield of Abraham, the Magen David. He's our husband. That's always kind of weird as a guy, right? But Scripture says that there is no male or female in the Lord. But he has the husband's role of caring and providing. And not that, you know, that in this day and age, a lot of times it takes two in a family to be able to do that. But the mothers can understand that as well. He's our Savior and Yeshua. And one of the old simple ones is God is love. All right. And in fact, when you, we're made in the image of God. That was another thing that came up today. We're made in the image of God. That means we don't know anything there's about ourselves that isn't applicable to God. He has every emotion that we have. Joy, sadness. There's a couple I'm not sure of, like anticipation. You know, I think he knows what's going on. I don't think he's getting real anxious about anything. Fear, I don't see God being afraid of anything. There's stuff I don't know, but I basically I know that everything that we know, he knows, and he knows it on a level we can't even imagine. We understand loving somebody that we personally closely connected to. He already on this planet has loved billions and knows them intimately better than they even know themselves. And this is where I think that if you look at Yeshua, one of the scriptures, and I may be getting out of track here, but one of the scriptures that we've talked about recently and I has always kind of puzzled me was the shortest verse in the Bible. Jesus wept. Yeshua wept. And I'm thinking, he's the God of the universe. How is that possible? And it's something that, like when I pray for my kids, I said, you know, please, Lord, I know you love them more than I know, more than I can love them. So help us out here with these guys, would you? And so I can see if we think about heartbreak that we've been through, loss of a loved one, or you know, my mother and father are both gone, and it was sad. It was, I miss them, particularly at special times, you know. But it wasn't a shock to me. I mean, we're all going that route, right? But now what really is a heartbreak, and thank God I've never experienced it, and I hope I never do, is the loss of a child. Right? And that nobody wants to go through. I've been close, but thank God it didn't work out that way. So death can be a real heartbreak, and I can see if he was worried about, you know, them dying, or in the case of Lazarus, when he cried for Lazarus, I don't think he was crying for Lazarus. I think he was crying for the family because he knew this had happened. He said, no, he's just asleep. But he knew the pain they were going through because to them he was dead. And he hated that he was putting them through that heartbreak to show the glory of God. You know, so I think there's a difference there. Now, the other thing that... you who are beyond puberty, which pretty much gets everybody here, I think. Have you ever loved someone and been betrayed by them?
That hurts. Now, what if you were betrayed by a parent? Or a parent betrayed by a child? That's how he loves us. And that's personal. And that I can understand. And to be loved like we love because he first loved us. He taught us how to love. And so if we put those things in perspective, it makes it easier to say, oh, yes, I love him. Even though we've never come face to face. That being said, we need to walk out halakha. Our first thing is we to love God. But then the thing that follows that is the Great Commission. We need to be witnessing. And the key to witnessing is not that silly list I made. The key to witnessing is sharing the love of Yehovah and Yeshua and our love for his children. If we can love like that, if we can share that love and meet everybody that we meet, knowing that's a brother or sister who may be lost or deceived. I mean, can you love a Muslim? Absolutely. Absolutely. They have been deceived, and we can hate Islam, but love Muslims.
8%
love Muslims. Amen. Amen. So to witness, the first thing we need to do is get our halakha going. You know, we need to be walking the walk. We need to be living by Torah, which includes the Brit Hadashah. Second thing, we are living a righteous life not to be holy, although God says to be holy like he is holy. But we're living a righteous life to be blessed and joyful. We can go through all sorts of trials. And a lot of people have been through trials I cannot even fathom and are walking a joyful life right now. And that's awesome. That is awesome. But we that are blessed, even more blessed, because we have been protected or shielded, even though we might have gone through some difficult times and may still be going through difficult times, we can still walk in joy and happiness and expect better. Yeah, we're fighting through this, but we're going to come through this. God will see us through. Many, many are the afflictions of the believer, but God sees you through them all, right? So if we do that, that gets our people see the walk we're walking. We used to have a friend, and he said, if you are ever in doubt, he said, walk fast and look happy. Nobody will ask you any questions. You just keep going. Nobody's going to say, what's wrong? And they shouldn't. You don't want them to. But the key then is to love them. And so, one other thing before in being joyful, it's funny, Tommy went to Philippians 2, and I think I have a scripture here on that. Yes. I'm in Philippians 2:12. Therefore, my loved ones, just as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now even more in my absence, work out your salvation. Now, again, this is Greek. But if you go to the reference scripture they give you is Psalms 2:11. It says, serve Yehovah with fear, yea, rejoice with trembling. So it's that workout should be walk out, I think. Walk out your salvation with fear, respect, but with joy. Amen. And when people see that, they're going to want it, you know? And that's what they should. People should be jealous of us. We are blessed, and if we approach people that way, you're offering them a great, wonderful gift. You should not be intimidated by that. You shouldn't be afraid that you might offend them, because that's certainly not your intention. And if they act offended, you don't get offended. Okay, well, if you ever change your mind, you know, we meet here, you know, or give me, here's my number. Do whatever you want. Leave that door open and walk fast and look happy as you're leaving them. You know, shake the dust off your feet and say, okay, you know, we'll see you later, see you around. We need to be filled with that joy. And it needs to rule our life. And that's the other thing. And when I said we're not being holy or being righteous to be holy, we're being righteous so we can walk in joy. All right? So the Torah, the law and the instruction are not to be burdens. Yeshua says, my burden is light, my yoke is easy. Something to that effect. I've rewritten the Bible so many times, you wouldn't believe. But that's the gist of it, okay? And so if we can let that shine in our life and reach out to people in that way, we can serve God, and He will do the rest of the work, you know? So I hope that helps somebody. And I oftentimes tell you guys this before I start something. I say, just to let you know, I don't want to offend you, so I'm preaching to me. If it hits you, that's on you. You know, that's up to you. But you know, hopefully that helps you. But that's something that it's really been, and that comes from this Ahava I've seen in this past year. I've seen that kind of a focus, and I pray that we can continue in that direction, and it gets in all of our kishkas, and that or is that kishkai? I'm not sure. But anyway, that we all really start to live it and let more people enjoy what we enjoy. So, Father God, we thank you for your love. We thank you for your word, and we thank you for your plan. It is so awesome to dig into your design of the universe, of the word, everything that you've created, and see how it's like a master watchmaker that just put everything together that feeds itself and just works perfectly. So, Lord, I pray that you work in our lives in the same way this week and from now on. And I pray, Lord, that you give us the strength and the anointing to do your will, and that we can help grow your family and reach out to your lost children and be there for them. And we thank you, Lord, that you love us all. And we pray that you hear this prayer and that you answer it positively, as we can trust and know that you will. And we ask all these things in the authority you've given us through Yeshua, our Messiah. Amen.
Amen. Ya'er Adona panav lecha vichunecha Yisa Adonai panav lecha vayesem lecha shalom.
When in the Central Arkansas area, we would like to invite you to join us in person. Shabbat service begins at 1 p.m. each Saturday, with Oneg at 3 p.m. and Torah study at 4 p.m. All service times are Central Standard Time. Thanks for watching.